Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Drew Johnson joins us. He's the Republican candidate for CD3 running against Susie Lee. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Drew Johnson. He is Republican candidate for CD3. Congratulations on that, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, you're very welcome. So you're running against Susie Lee, but before we get into that race, I want to ask you about the debate.
Debating Susie or
the Trump-Biden debate. We'll get to Susie Lee in a minute here.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately what I'm focused on is obviously Susie Lee and her poor performance representing our district. But Susie Lee votes with Joe Biden 100% of the time. Joe Biden has endorsed Susie Lee. I've said time and time again that once elected, I'll never vote along with any president 100% of the time. It just wouldn't be in the best interest of the constituents of CD3. And so obviously the debate, I saw the same thing that you did. Biden is unfit to be president. I thought Trump did an admirable job. And I think it really shows what's coming in November. I think that up and down the ballot, a lot of people are frustrated with the Democratic Party, and not just this inept leadership, but the bad decision-making that's taking place from the president on down.
What do you think it says, if anything, about the age of a candidate to be president?
You know, with Biden, I don't think it's the age. I think, you know, I grew up with Reagan as the president, and I think he did a fine job well into his 80s. It's less about age and more about just mental acuity. Obviously, I'm no doctor. I don't know what's going on with his health, but I think that that age doesn't matter that much. But I do think that a lot of people are ready for younger leadership, and I think I can provide that here in the 3rd District.
All right, you were not endorsed by Donald Trump in your candidacy, although he did endorse John Lee in CD4. Have you reached out to the Trump campaign to see if there's a potential for endorsement at this point in time?
I've never been really concerned about being endorsed by President Trump. Obviously, I'll vote for President Trump. I endorse President Trump because I believe he's such a better alternative to President Biden. But my concern isn't really about appealing to Trump's base. My concern is being who I am. And you know, I think that one of the reasons why I wasn't all that concerned with getting a Trump endorsement is because, quite frankly, I've been critical of President Trump when he's done things like spending too much, for example, that don't align with my, you know, free market, limited government principles. And I assume that both President Trump and I will find ourselves in D.C. in January. And I think, as I said before, he'll be a much better president than Joe Biden, but he's not perfect. And when he does things that hurt the constituents of the third district or sort of go outside of my fiscal conservative principles, I'll hold him accountable for that again.
I want to point out that Gabby Birnbaum, who writes for the Nevada Independent, did a terrific article on you, and I think it's worth viewers and listeners searching that out. And I certainly enjoyed reading that. The headline there is, "After surprise primary win, can Drew Johnson flip Nevada's swingiest House seat?" This is going to be a big money race where I don't think the Republican Party was expecting this to be a big money race. How much do you think it's going to need on your part and on whatever super PACs come around to support you to take this? Because it is the swingiest seat in Nevada's Congress, congressional delegation. What kind of money are we talking here?
This is actually the most flippable, you know, top-tier competitive House race between Michigan and Ohio and Washington State. So it's a real area of focus. It's a seat that Republicans need for me to win in order for us to control the House majority, to retain the House majority. To answer your question, we have a really strong path right now to raise more money than April Becker was able to raise last time. And I thought she raised enough to get the job done in different circumstances. We'll be able to raise more than that. And then I'm fortunate in that the background I have working at, you know, conservative think tanks and grassroots organizations, I have a lot of connections nationally that a lot of the candidates here in Nevada don't necessarily have. So I'm very confident that I'll have the resources that we need to take this fight to Susie Lee and ultimately flip the seat.
If elected, will you vote for Speaker Johnson to be reelected to the speakership?
I haven't even thought of that, to be honest. Speaker Johnson has been supportive of me, which I appreciate. I can't even imagine right now what sort of scenarios will come up. So we'll leave that for, ask me that in the middle of November, and I'll give you an honest answer, but I just do not know right now the machinations of how everything will work, you know, by middle of January next year.
All right, let's talk about your position. You consider yourself, according to Gabby's article, as a libertarian-leaning Republican. How do you describe that? Because I remember years ago, I talked to a very strong libertarian, and I said, "Describe for me what libertarians are." And he said, "Well, libertarians are people that will vote for a road that they drive on, will vote for a school that their kids go to, but they want to privatize police and fire." And I thought of the movie Gangs of New York, and we saw how that worked out, and that wasn't particularly good. How do you consider the libertarian side of yourself?
Yeah, first of all, I'm a Republican first and foremost. But to answer that question, I'll tell you how I grew up, and I think it'll make you understand a little bit more where I'm coming from. So I grew up in a trailer in rural Appalachia. I had a mom who worked two jobs. She worked at Walmart during the day, and she worked as a maid cleaning office buildings at night. And I was zoned for a terrible school district. If I'd stayed in that school district, I wouldn't have had a lot of opportunity. At least most of the kids who went there ended up not graduating high school, not going to college, those sorts of things. So my mom lied about our address and said that we lived at my grandmother's house, which is in a town, the next town over. And it was zoned for a really good school district. And so she lied and put me in this position of having to go about an hour round trip just to go to school. But what an amazing position she put me in, because I was able to get a great education. And that sort of spurred in me this idea that, you know, school choice, parental rights is really important. When I was about 15, I got to go to Russia just about 18 months after the fall of communism. And when I met people there, kids there my age, this was a sister cities exchange program with Johnson City, Tennessee, and a town called Rubensk, Russia. And the kids there talked about standing in bread lines, talked about having family members in gulags. I remember asking one kid what his favorite kind of cereal is. You know, I was expecting Fruity Pebbles or Fruit Loops or whatever. And he said, we only have one kind of cereal here. And that sort of, even at that young age, made me appreciate what we have here in the United States, the freedoms, the liberties. And so when I went to college, I went to grad school for public policy, I went to Pepperdine. And I realized then that I wanted to devote my life to expanding freedom, individual liberty, trying to make government small and responsible. And I became, you know, over the years, one of America's most respected taxpayer watchdogs. I've saved taxpayers about $60 billion in my career. So my belief ultimately is that people make better decisions than government. It's not that there's no role for government. It's that government is too large, that taxes are too high, that government spends too much. And that doesn't make me some sort of crazy libertarian. I think that makes me right in line with the people of Southern Nevada.
So let me ask you, first of all, you said you saved the taxpayers $60 billion. How did you do that?
So I've worked at places like the National Taxpayers Union. As you know, I founded Tennessee's version of Nevada policy. And so through researching budgets, through FOIAs and open records requests, I've been able to identify literally trillions of dollars in wasteful spending at the state, federal, and local level. And I take those findings to members of Congress and say, what can we do to eliminate these programs, these projects? And most of the time, they don't get eliminated because of, there are these special interests that want to keep them alive. But I've been successful more than most, and I'm really proud of what I've been able to do to lower government's burden on taxpayers. And that's something, when I compare myself to Susie Lee, you know, we both talk about saving Social Security, but I've actually saved tax dollars that have gone to help fund Social Security and make Social Security stable, where Susie Lee keeps spending and spending and spending. And ultimately, because of lawmakers like Susie Lee, if we don't get that under control in the next 11 years, we're going to have a 23% across the board cut to Social Security. So it's really interesting, the sort of the difference, the contrast between one of DC's greatest spenders of tax dollars and somebody who's literally spent his life, his adult life, fighting for taxpayers.
When one looks with a dispassionate eye at Congress and the White House over the last couple of administrations, and granted that COVID was a part of that, but neither party seems to be interested in cutting spending. I mean, the spending is through the roof. We're at, what, $34 trillion debt at this point in time. Harry Reid said on this program about 5 years ago that we had already passed the tipping point on the debt. And I think we're seeing the response to that at this point in time. How do you get both parties to think in terms of cutting budgets rather than increasing them? Because it's the more pork you bring home, you know, the better you're standing.
I think that's one difference that I can really tell between how Susie Lee operates and how I operate. She does want to come back and, you know, I bought $100,000 for this special pork project. What I want to do is make sure our nation is secure as a whole. And what's going to motivate that? I think there are two things that are on the horizon that really force Congress to action. One is what I just mentioned, the fact that in 2035, Social Security will be cut across the board 23%. So whether that's a person living with disabilities, whether that's a senior on a fixed income, all of those checks will be cut by 23%. And that's something that I don't think many members of Congress are okay going back home and saying, oh, look what I did for you. I caused Social Security to get a lot worse. The other thing is just servicing the national debt. And just like what you were talking about, if we're about 15 years away from the national debt being the biggest single expenditure for our country, more so than Social Security or Medicare or anything else. And so that's really one of the things that's driving inflation. And so when we talk about reducing inflation, getting spending under control, I will be able to lead that fight based on what I've done in my career working at the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, the National Taxpayers Union, to make recommendations to streamline the budget. But to answer your question, very bluntly, most members of Congress would rather be reelected than do what's right for the country. And quite frankly, the reason I'm running is because every day when I wake up, I say to myself, how can I best advance liberty today? And right now, that answer is getting rid of Susie Lee, bringing some common sense solutions to DC, and fighting to make sure we reduce the national debt, we reduce our spending, and we save this country.
All right. And I do want to point out that Susie Lee has been on this program many times as we do our DC trips, and she is more than welcome to come on and respond to some of the things you're saying. So let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Drew Johnson after this timeout.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Drew Johnson. He is the Republican candidate for CD3, running against Susie Lee, as he has pointed out many times in this interview. Social Security. In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, no politician who ever wanted to be reelected is ever going to see any cut to Social Security. But there are a couple of things that I would throw out there. One is, with the exception of people who work in construction or other heavy-duty jobs, fire, police, where you can't continue to work into your late 60s and 70s, that raising the age of collecting Social Security makes sense in a society that is aging well. The other thing is that it takes 16 people working to be able to provide the income for Social Security to take care of one person. And to me, the solution to that is legalized immigration to be able to resolve that. Your thoughts on both those issues?
It's not to vote for anything that would increase the retirement age. I think that we can solve the issues with Social Security by other means. And I'll actually release an op-ed about this here in the next week or two. But as far as immigration goes, I couldn't.
But now, hang on. Hang on. So you can't just throw that out there. So,
well, I'll tell you, here's how to do it.
Okay.
I can specifically address that. First, Social Security disability insurance. The number of people on SSDI has doubled in recent years. And these aren't people who all have a legitimate disability. This is the government has become too lenient with who gets put on SSDI. There are issues with lacking the ability to encourage people to work who are on SSDI. You could reduce benefits and encourage people to work. Right now, it's basically all or nothing. So that's a portion that would take care of about 20% of the shortfall. The rest of the shortfall can be taken care of three ways. One is reducing some of the wasteful spending and putting that money towards Social Security, which I'll be a leader in. Number two is if we change how Social Security inflation, COLA, is figured, that will take care of most of the rest of it, quite frankly. So Ramin Abacha, who works at Cato Institute, has done a lot of work on this. It's a little in the weeds, but that's one thing that is the easiest way of taking care of Social Security long-term without cutting benefits or increasing the retirement age. But the third thing is exactly what you're talking about. I support legal immigration. Susie Lee, Joe Biden, these Democrats have obviously put our country at risk by these open borders policies that have brought in, you know, terrorists and fentanyl and human trafficking and everything else. What we need is to close the border and stop this ridiculous wait. Right now, it's 5-6 years to legally immigrate. And so good people have this perverse incentive to cut line and come across the border legally. And we've got to stop that. And the easiest way to do that is by putting more funding into immigration services. It's completely unconscionable for us to say we want immigrants, but it's 5 or 6 years to wait to come in legally. So almost a third of my district is first or second generation legal immigrants. And these people are so frustrated because these illegal immigrants that are being let in, again, by people like Susie Lee and Joe Biden, are cutting line, are going through the process that they went through, the, you know, the hoops and the lawyers and things like that. And so those are the people when I've knocked doors, and my team and I have knocked 22,000 doors so far. That's what I hear the most is, I waited my turn. I got a lawyer. I paid this money to come legally. How is it fair that all these other people, tens of millions of people, are coming through illegally? And I want to make sure, out of the sake of fairness, spirit of fairness for the people in the third congressional district, that we fix that problem.
Okay, so just two quick things. One is that people are coming across the border to ask for asylum, so that's not necessarily coming across the border illegally. But the thing I wanted to pick up on, and I need a brief answer on this, is you said that you would not increase the cost of living adjustments for Social Security. That would be one of the ways that you would pay for the benefit.
No. The way that is figured right now is really antiquated, and it doesn't take into account that, for example, you can buy one brand of milk or a different brand of milk. And so the way that it's figured right now is based off of name brand products, and it creates this sort of hyperinflation the way it's done now. So if we can peg Social Security to a chain consumer price index, then it really reduces the cost of Social Security in the long term without reducing people's buying power. And that's what we want to do, is make sure that seniors don't have any reduction in cost of living, in buying power, and that we keep Social Security solvent, that so that we're not playing with retirement age and we're not cutting benefits. And that's the thing. Okay. I want to make sure.
Okay, so just one quick response to you, because I'm on Social Security. The cost of living adjustments are not that great. So, you know, nobody's going, you know, to the casino to spend big money because they got so much of an interest in the COLA. But let's take a break. We'll come back and a real quick ending here after this timeout.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Fantastic cocktails and delicious food. It's a good time to eat. Over 500 hot slots plus electronic table games.
It's a good time to play.
Player rewards and big time jackpots.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are train wreck.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Drew Johnson. He's a Republican candidate for CD3 running against Susie Lee. You know as well as I do, because you have studied Congress so long, that if elected, the majority of your work is going to be constituent services. Do you agree with that for the first term?
Altogether, the most important job of a member of Congress is constituent services. And I'll fight to make sure that our constituents in Southern Nevada are better represented by me than they have been by Susie.
And that's where we have to leave it. You're always welcome back, sir. Will you debate Susie Lee if she agrees to it on this program?
Yes, I actually have already told Channel 8 I would agree to a debate. I'd be happy to do one with you, Sam, anytime, anywhere. If Susie will do it, I will be there.
Okay, thank you so much, and please come back.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news, in between, and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not. That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley. UMC Quick Care, for all your small calamities.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day on various platforms, including television, radio, our website, audio and video podcasts, YouTube. If you want to find the show, you can find it pretty darn easily. And we cover politics, business, health, and education. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.